I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
and welcome again to ET Yoga. And I think we've got a great show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual. We're going to be talking about the latest ET information on first contact and other agreements that affect humanity, including time travel technology. And we're also going to be talking about messages from the Crystal Children. And before we get started this evening, I'd just like to give my thanks and appreciation to the listeners out there who have been kind enough to email me during the week and make suggestions as to items that they'd like to hear on ET Yoga. And also, I always appreciate hearing from people who have had success using techniques on that we've presented on ET Yoga. And you can email me at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. Really makes my week to hear about your successes. Now, to get right into the heart of the matter this evening, we're going to start with messages from the Crystal Children. I mentioned last week that Jessica Schaub is an interesting person to follow up on, and she was interviewed on Project Camelot, and she's not a crystal child anymore, but because she's a full-grown adult. But I really liked a lot of the comments in her interview at that site, and I wanted to start off this evening by mentioning some of those because they really do tie in with the other information that we're going to be presenting on tonight's show. And one of the concepts that she talked about was that all time was simultaneous. And, of course, this is one of those concepts that's really hard to present on a radio broadcast. But I know Bashar has confirmed it as well, that we typically have a couple of viewpoints of time. We typically assume that time is just linear, but as Bashar has confirmed, that all time is simultaneous, and there's only one time that's now. And so all of our incarnations actually are also happening simultaneously. And I think that that is an interesting, real interesting concept, and I think as we view time, we will be learning more and more about different aspects of this very, very interesting concept that we call time. And a little bit later in the show, we'll be connecting time with some of the information from David Wilcock. And Jessica also talks, speaking of a specific time, about her concepts about 2012. She's very, very positive about that particular time frame and is excited, as I am, about the wonderful possibilities that exist on the planet right now. And I really liked her comment that, in her opinion, that there are many, many souls waiting to be incarnated on Earth at this time because it's the most amazing time to be here. And that it's an honor, actually, to be alive during this time frame. And I really think that's a real beautiful statement. And she goes further on to explain that this is one of the reasons why there's such a large overpopulation at the moment. So many people wanting to be here and experience and have the opportunity to experience all the exciting events that are happening on planet Earth. And, you know, in today's doom and gloomer perspective, I really love that point of view. And I'd also like to pass on to our listeners her viewpoint about the dark side or negativity, and she likens that to a piece of coal being pressured and resulting in a diamond. And I think this is so true with so many of the concepts that are out there with respect to some sort of an event that turns out to have a silver lining. And, of course, one of those was the Children of AIDS. And we did a piece a while back about Drengalo Melchizedek and his discussion about the Children of AIDS and sharing with everyone a story about children now that are being born with four codons in their DNA activated, unlike the normal person, let's say, in on Earth today, and resulting in them being totally immune from a disease. And again, a silver lining that eventually came about from that disease. And I really like the ideas that connect with Linda Schaub and Drengalo with respect to the concept that many of these new age kids are being born with a concept of seeing an integrated whole and seeing the world as a reflection of their beliefs and thoughts and emotions, which again is so consistent with the information that we put out on ET Yoga. And also a loving attitude and, of course, to have this kind of a positive attitude clearly implies unconditional love and the idea of getting away from judgment. And certainly judgment, as we've been pointing out on ET Yoga, not only has a major effect on positive attitude, but also has a major impact on positive or negative health. One of the things that Jessica sort of, I think, really comes across is that the new era, or 2012 era, to a lot of people, you know, view that as a negative event, or are afraid of events that are transpiring and the change that's coming about. And again, a very positive attitude from her with respect to seeing this as a new beginning. And even though there will be lots of changes, certainly her spin is very positive. And, of course, tying in with Bashar's teachings that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meaning. And you can put a positive spin on all types of change. And the formula is positive emotion in and positive judgment in, positive experience out, and negative judgment and negative spin in, a negative experience is the result. And I really love the connection in all ways with how positive these special kids. And of course, the messages of some of these crystal kids for us. And I want to share two specific messages that I've come across in the last month. And one was a reference that we should be checking out the Dolphin Crop Circle. And that's the one at Alton Barns in Wiltshire. England, and that's from August 14th, 2002. And some of the crystal kids have indicated that there is a code in this crop circle that only your superconscious mind will comprehend, and it may reveal your role or how you can contribute to the world of peace and compassion. And they reiterate that it is so important that people all over the world see this crop circle, for it will activate you in ways your mind cannot understand. So I think that's a, sort of a hint to those who feel like that's a message for them. And also, with respect to some other kids, the psychic kids, have also indicated that how we will know which path humanity has chosen if the whales and the dolphins begin interacting with humans in closer ways, then you will know that you have chosen well. But if they retreat and die, the road ahead will be very difficult. We only ask that you choose well for today's children and tomorrow's. If you choose peace now and allow your minds to flow to that reality, then the political systems will adjust on their own, and you will see results of that in your world. Your emotions are the key. It is the tool you will use to draw the chosen world into your conscious experience. Your collective emotions have the ability to influence weather patterns and even end wars. You have done this many times without realizing it. If you continue claiming the world you want by feeling that world in your emotions, then it will be so. But if you continue to be influenced by the fear that is so present today, then the world will reflect that as well. We, your children, are asking you to choose love over fear. Then the whales and the dolphins will fulfill their role and give us back the information they store within each cell. It is so important that this happen. The circle of life cannot be broken now. Use your reality, use your feelings of love, and draw the reality you really want. And I think this quote is really ties in with much of what we're going to be connecting with and connecting the dots for our listeners this evening, especially the part about allowing your mind to flow to the reality that you really want. And a third message from the psychic kids, when asked about what are some of the most positive things that we can do as individuals on the planet at this time. And they suggested doing the Pleiadian spinning technique. And for those who are not familiar with that, on last week's show we actually, we not only did the Bashar XYZ extraterrestrial meditation, but we also explained the Pleiadian spinning techniques. And if you missed that information, and you're really, really interested in that, you can go to MaxwellGreenSite.com. It's Maxwell as in Maxwell House Coffee, Green as in the color, site.com. It's also known as Healing the Known and the Unknown. And on that site, there is some archived ET yoga shows, and one in particular called XYZ Extraterrestrial Meditation contains the Pleiadian spinning techniques as well as some other techniques. But and I think that's available for $19.95. That's MaxwellGreenSite.com if you're interested in those Pleiadian spinning techniques. Now, also with the in connection to this material, we also talked about the Merkaba techniques. And by the way, the Merkaba techniques are also discussed at that on that program from MaxwellGreenSite.com. Yeah, that's my website, by the way. And the Merkaba, I really think that the connection with Merkaba and health is clearly, as we mentioned from the psychic children, about some of these kids having four codons activated. Gonzalo Melchizedek, in one of his Merkaba meditations, he got comfortable inside his Merkaba vehicle and has asked his higher self for activation of those four codons. And since that time, he hasn't been able to get sick. At least that's his perspective. And I would concur with his experience that doing your Merkaba technique and then asking for those extra four codons to be activated can be very effective. And also in relation to that are the Infinity Codes of 2007, and that's information that was channeled from Celia Finn of Archangel Michael, and he actually goes through a meditation, which we have actually done on ET Yoga, and it's called the Activating Your DNA Template for Perfect Health and Well-Being. And I highly recommend that as another avenue to activate the process of attainment of perfect health. So I find that there's, you know, clearly all these connections out here, certainly the Crystal Kids and their messages to us, the Dolphin Crop Circle, the Pleiadian Spinning Techniques, the Infinity Codes, you know, all these are interesting avenues to explore. And also recently, and I think really connecting with this information, there was actually on the David Wilcox site, which is at Divine Cosmos, he is actually, there's a video there that's well worth a look. And he basically talks about, starts off talking about a number of topics, but eventually gets into some really interesting information with respect to the pineal gland. And he's actually, I give some real scientific information that I'm not going to go into tonight, but sort of the gist of it is that the activated pineal gland certainly has this connection with time, and here's our connection with what we said at the top of the show with respect to perceptions on time. And, of course, people are connecting the pineal gland with psychic abilities and the ability to see the future, the past, etc. And he goes into a technical explanation of that, that actually when the pineal gland is activated, it actually has three timelines and one space-time. As energy becomes inverted in that process. And he's saying, you know, the normal perception is one timeline, one we typically think is that everyone is experiencing. And in point of fact, his explanation is clearly that once it's properly activated, that we have the tool to really provide our own Stargate. And he doesn't mention this, but I have heard from the Syrian information that at one time our pineal gland was about 10 times larger than it currently is. And it's because so much of the population has not been centered in that higher chakra, which I call sixth chakra energy. But once that sixth chakra energy is activated, amazing possibilities exist. And the other interesting concept that we're going to be exploring here this evening is that it's clearly coming up, and a lot of people are starting to realize that there are going to be different outcomes and different futures for different people on the Earth. And I'm going to give a quote from Bashar that sort of starts to touch upon that subject. And Bashar says, I'll put it to you this way. There are an infinite number of probable Earths. Every single possible scenario will play out, and more precisely, is playing out now, since all time is actually simultaneous. However, whatever each individual's vibratory frequency is, that is the determining factor for what probable future reality Earth they will experience. in that our civilization is communicating to this probable reality Earth, in other words, in that we are capable of having this conversation with you, then that is an indication that you are part and parcel of the probable reality Earth that will allow the positive energy, shall we say, to overbalance the negative. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And all the probable reality Earths that do decide to let the negative dominate in their future, we're not having conversations with in the same way at all. And so here we are again with talking about different outcomes for different people, but still on the planet Earth. And I know one of the meditations I had, I used to get the information that there were sort of overlapping realities or overlapping timelines, and that our expectations will draw us to the one that we're most suited to by frequency. And David Wilcock actually goes really more into this because his concept of the pineal gland, I guess he poses the question that, you know, has there ever been a technology developed that's actually functioning like a pineal gland? And he gives reference to the show Contact and saying that there was actually a machine in that particular show that reflected what he views and he calls a technology called Looking Glass. Now, in his perspective and in another guy's perspective called Dan Burrish, this technology exists. And basically, he's saying that the pineal gland is like a miniature stargate in your own brain, but that through reverse engineering and some of the technologies that were obtained from crashed UFOs, that this type of technology has been made and is capable of seeing future probabilities. And some of the other movies that he touches upon, there are the Total Recall, Wormhole, Extreme, the Stargate TV show, Minority Report, X-Men, Forbidden Planet, and Powder. He's basically making a claim that some of the scenes from some of these movies are not just science fiction, but in point of fact could be called some of them non-fiction. And he goes into discussing actually a couple of concepts, one called the cube and one called the looking glass. And he says that the cube was something that was found in at the Roswell crash, and that he also confirms my sort of meditation that there's been an interlacing of images as you approach 2012, and this interlacing of images means that when they utilize this time travel technology, that what they're finding now between now and 2012 is that there's this interlacing of timelines, and it happens so quickly that, of course, we're not really conscious of it, but apparently that some computers are able to sort of divide the two different or three different or however many different timelines are overlaid and coming up with a probable future realities. And this, to me, the main point of any of this information, whether you accept it or choose it as accurate or not, it connects in the sense that our expectations create our future, and certainly our emotions, just like the crystal children have indicated, that our emotions clearly affect and create our, which are tied to our beliefs, it's the definitions about the world, create our outer experience. And the David Wilcock information, he sort of, the way he puts it is that the chair in the some of these crafts that have crashed on the planet actually works as an interface with your consciousness. And when you meditate, a vortex opens up in front of the ship, and then you can focus on where you want to be. And in many respects, I liken this to the experience coming up for all of us in 2012. Because, again, by meditating and focusing on a positive reality, then that's going to be the one that you're drawn to. And I guess David Gersher, he gave an example, and he was interviewed on Project Camelot, and he gave an indication that apparently he has been involved with some of this technology, and that he had a certain subject matter that he was thinking about, and when he looked in the looking glass, he saw an Armageddon scenario. So what he's basically referring to is that your expectations clearly affect the probable future realities. And this is exactly, as I just quoted from the Bashar information, that it is the frequency that you are is the determining factor of what probable future reality you will experience. And this is a whole new way of thinking, to my way of looking at it, because clearly this concept of different outcomes and different futures for different people is something that certainly hasn't been taught, and to me is a very fascinating subject. And again, in terms of becoming your own Stargate captain, this is the process, and as Bashar has indicated, that your beliefs and your emotions and your definitions act as a perfect mirror to create your experience of 3D reality. And I think more and more people are cluing into that concept, and now here we are, whether you accept the information in some of the science fiction or if some of this technology actually exists, well, you know, I haven't seen it, but the concept certainly makes sense to me. And clearly I believe in the concept that your positive experience or your positive outlook certainly will attract you to the timeline that you want to be on. Somewhat similar to the analogy of television stations. You're tuned into one station, but all the other stations are still happening simultaneously. So you tune into the one that you're most, you most are in concert with. And I think this is, you know, again, it so ties in with information that we're getting from Crystal Kids. It's tying in that flowing information to the reality that you want, and really working on the positive aspects of throwing a positive spin on all outer circumstances. And again, in the Bashar material, this is the key thing in the our responsibility here at this time is throwing a positive spin on all outer circumstance, because your higher self can see the road ahead, but the rational mind cannot. And so your higher self is creating for you many, many experiences here, and why we are incarnated, to have certain experiences that our higher self wants us to have. And certainly it's an indication that you're learning your lessons. And if you're able to throw positive spin on all outer circumstance. And Bashar says that's the number one responsibility of the rational mind. And the other thing is increasing the connection with the higher self. And in that respect, Bashar gives the what he calls a mantra that is, outer circumstances don't matter. Only my state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer? And if you prefer joy, then see in your own mind how someone in joy would respond to the outer circumstance and then follow that action. And he also indicates that this particular mantra is information in words and is a message to and from your higher self and the rational mind in language that the rational mind can understand. Because most of the information that we get from the higher self, we pick up during our sleep time, or we pick as intuitions or urges. And this is an actual, you know, sentence in English or another, and whatever language you want to use, that is a communication and a wake-up call to you. So when something comes up in the outer circumstance, you prefer to have the experience of joy, and in the connection with joy, Mishar suggests that you follow your excitement and follow your joy, because it's the frequency and it's the compass that tells you that you are in alignment with your higher self. So all this information in my way of thinking all ties together. Now, with respect to, at the top of the show, we talked about some of the latest information on first contact and other agreements affecting humanity, including time travel technology. Well, we talked about some of this time travel technology, and actually to wrap up that subject, according to Dan Burrish, at least, there was a treaty called POW 9. And in that treaty, the elite on this planet have agreed to shut down stargates and utilizing some of this technology called Looking Glass. Apparently there has been an abuse of some of this technology, and I have not heard that information confirmed from Bashar, but anyway, that's information from Dan Burrish. Now, E.T. information with respect to Bashar, the information that Bashar confirms, and I'm mentioning Bashar, and for those who aren't familiar with Bashar, he's a channel through Daryl Anka. He's been coming through for about the last 25 years with amazing information on self-empowerment. For those of you who are interested in Thought Creates and are fans of The Secret, all that information actually came out from Bashar 25 years ago. So it's only become popular now, but if, certainly Bashar has been on the cutting edge of providing information to us. And Bashar had confirmed that, in point of fact, there had been abductions and agreements with certain governments on the planet with respect to exchanging advanced technologies. And I think in that respect, he's also confirmed that some of the motivations for the from this particular ET group that was involved in the abductions had to do with developing a hybrid species. And I guess there's many takes on that particular story, but one of the takes that I've heard was that this particular group was actually, they're not really extraterrestrial, they're more interdimensional, in that they became, they're actually us in a future timeline, but without emotion. And clearly, you know, you see some disturbing sort of seeds of that in today's world, where there's, you know, I've been really concerned lately seeing a lot of kids being involved with and addicted to some of the computer games and all the killing and violence in these games. And I really think that, you know, it's to such a large extent now that it really is desensitizing people, you know, to killing. And in many respects, there's clearly been a, you know, a lack of respect for human life. And it really is disturbing if you think about this being progressed or amplified in the future, and clearly how we could end up with such an inhuman or non-emotional possible future. And Bashar has also confirmed that the Earth is in quarantine, and that means until 2012, that there would not be, at least from the Association of Worlds, there would not be a first contact until after 2012. And interesting to note there that, I guess, you know, there's lots of interesting possibilities that are likely to happen around that time. And I know about 2 weeks ago we gave some information from Valery Uvarov, a Russian scientist who's been doing research with pyramids, and he's been also doing research with magnetic pole shifts, etc. And they're certainly saying, and he's part of the government program there, that's basically saying that in 2012 there will exist amazing possibilities on this planet. And that's also in conjunction with David Wilcock information that we would have full-on ascension abilities before 2012. And he actually, with David Wilcock thing, he talks about taking the pi ratio and applying it to the Mayan calendar, and they're talking about when certain events happened, like 1991 apparently was one of those years that had amazing positive and negative possibilities, and that was the year of the fall of the Russian system. And another one of those years coming up like that is apparently 2009. And those possibilities of higher end, and, you know, its opposite possible future outcomes come about with more and more frequency between 2009 and 2012. And jackpot at that time, where it's not every few years or every few months or every few weeks, but gets down into hours and seconds. So, so amazing, amazing possibilities at that particular time. And Bashar actually goes into more detail and provides more information about the first contact scenario than any place else that I've been connected with. In fact, he goes so far as to actually name the civilization that he believes we will have first contact with. And as probable futures are changing so rapidly, and that there's one thing apparently that is really hard to get a handle on, because we're sort of, you know, creating new possibilities all the time. But as Bashar says, as he reads the energy now, the likelihood of a first contact public scenario where everybody is aware of an extraterrestrial presence will probably happen around 2015 to 2017. And certainly makes sense if, in fact, Earth is in quarantine, and in quarantine up until after the 2012 time frame. And Bashar has said that at that time, the Earth would have a first contact scenario with a group of beings called the Shalanaya. And some of this information, Bashar goes into more specifics on and some of the tapes that are available at the www.bashar.org website. And in conjunction with the Shalanaya, Bashar claims that the phenomenon known as the Phoenix Lights is actually that group of beings called Shalanaya. And that the most recent sighting there was a craft that was about a mile in length, wedge-shaped, that hovered over the city of Phoenix for hours. And he indicates that in 2010, the Shalanaya will again be making a presence in the state of Arizona. And further to that, he says that in 2012, Michelle and I will be making that presence known at various sacred sites around the planet. So, I haven't received much new information on this subject in the last 3 or 4 months. That's the latest ET information from Bashar concerning first contact. And obviously a very, very interesting subject. And I'm finding it quite fascinating myself that the word Shalanaya hasn't sort of trickled its way into some of the New Age sites. At least not to my knowledge. I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere else. So the Shalanaya, according to Bashar, will be the first civilization, extraterrestrial in nature, that we will have first open public contact with. Now, sort of tying all this information together, I guess I'd like to, spend a little bit of time, talking about why, ET Yoga came about. ET Yoga came about because of a perceived need for self-empowerment information and also information to help maximize the immune system. And we did a show a month ago, tying together some of the teachings of Bashar with what's called the ultimate truths of reality. And the ultimate truths of reality was information that was passed through Gene Hatch, information from Mother Mary, and it's information that was kept in the mystery schools for the longest times. And apparently some of it had leaked out from time to time. But the ultimate truths of reality, to me, they just so totally lined up with Bashar teachings. And here's Bashar, claiming to be extraterrestrial, coming back from in our future, and basically saying that he is a product of this hybrid program that's taking place currently, that the mix of humans and even as scary as it sounds, the people who were involved with some of the abduction scenarios, that eventually they are able to come up with a very, very amazing hybrid species that he says the Asasani is one of the results of. And thus our connection to not only the Shalanaya, but to the Asasani. And I would highly recommend that you check out the Bashar website, as well as just the term Asasani, and see what comes up on your search engines. And some of this information, and I think the big one that's being taught out there to the masses today is that thought creates. And clearly, I think it's one of the major messages in much of the Pleiadian information that Barbara Marciniak has passed on from Bringers of the Dawn, and also her book on self-empowerment, that the important concept that thought creates. And in the ultimate truths of a reality, and I'm going to give a specific quote here. It's the fifth one listed on a list of 20 concepts, and it states that, this is from the ultimate truths of reality, that everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. As aspects of the all that is, I am creator God. I create my own personal reality as God creates through thought. Everything begins with thought. Next, I have an emotional reaction to the thought. Thought and emotion creates beliefs. from which perceptions and behaviors and patterns of response are formed. My perceived reality is thus constructed out of these personal belief systems. Nothing can be thrust upon me. I invite everything into my awareness through my thinking. It is my believing that makes it so. And speaking of believing, next week we're going to do, most of the show is going to be around belief and belief systems and how important it is and how you can use some practical techniques to go through and reprogram some of your beliefs. And the sixth one on that list of the from the College of Christ Consciousness, that's Mother Mary material, is that as a creator, I am 100% responsible for everything I create. It is not possible for anyone nor anything other than me to be responsible for my experiences if I am the only one who can create in my reality. And Bashar has confirmed this information as well by stating that you cannot experience what you're not the vibration of. Now, it's also true that in the first, say, 6-7 years of life, we're basically downloading information and thoughts and beliefs from our initial caregivers. And so one of the key responsibilities, and responsibility doesn't mean you're to blame, it means that you have the ability to respond, is to, if you're seeing reflections in your outer experience that you do not prefer, it's definitely a good place to check is some of the old beliefs that you've downloaded. And to thank your initial caregivers and parents for the positive things that they've given you, but also to identify some of those that don't that no longer work and that you need to reprogram. And this is in connection with the seventh item on that list, that everything happens for a reason. Since God is absolute perfection, then nothing that God creates is pointless nor extraneous. Therefore, as an individual aspect of God expressing itself as me, the same applies to that which I create in my reality, whether or not I am consciously aware of it. So I think that's another interesting clue to this whole concept that nothing happens by accident. And more specifically, the number eight on the list is there are no accidents. Nothing happens by chance. Since everything that is created has a reason and a purpose, then the concept of an accident must be an illusion designed to avoid taking responsibility for the creation. Oh, it just happened there by accident. Well, not in my way of thinking. I also have referred to the 11th point on that list, that all events are neutral. There are no negative experiences, although I can choose to define any experience as negative. Therefore, if I am experiencing negativity in my life, then I have chosen it. Negative or positive definitions are a personal choice of a valued judgment placed on any given situation or event for the purpose of the experience. Since nothing can be in my reality unless I create it, then if it is there and it is negative, then I have chosen for it to be there and I've chosen to perceive it as negative. I always have another choice. And again, this is right there with Bashar's concept that events don't come with built-in meaning, that we place judgments on external events and then they take on the meaning that we choose. I also, one of my favorites on that list is, and the number 12, which there is only one vibration, love. There is the illusion or the absence or lack of love. The vibratory frequency of God is unconditional love, and everything, all that is created out of the essence of that unconditional love. The perception that there is an absence or lack of love in that which comprises everything is an illusion based on an erroneous belief. Now, I think that all these concepts and what is called the ultimate truths of reality certainly to my way of thinking, all tied together with all the events we talked about on tonight's show. From the Crystal Kids talking about flowing energy to the type of experience that you want, to operation of the pineal gland or some of these technologies that may have been prevented, which are actually a physical representations of pineal glands from extraterrestrial sources. All of the information in a nutshell comes down to pointing a finger to the fact that we can be our own Stargate captains. And by placing a positive spin on outer circumstances, having positive beliefs, and doing the work, the inner work that's necessary to have a positive outlook at times when other people may not, is certainly, you know, all part and parcel of why we're here, and the choices are really ours. If you look at the Bashar information, you look at the ultimate truths of reality from the College of Christ Consciousness, the message here is clear, and the message from the Crystal Children as well, that it's all up to us. It's all our choice. And in conjunction with that, and tying it back to the reasons why we came on with ET Yoga, the new science is also confirming some of these techniques that we're suggesting as optimum ways to keep your physical body in as top condition as possible, especially the immune system. And one of those techniques is thorough detoxifications and providing the body with proper nutrients. And we have suggested many times the American Botanical Pharmacy in California, the Dr. Schultz program, because Bashar had recommended those materials. And Bashar doesn't, you know, give them plugs for many products out there. I think coming to mind of Bashar recommendations was the book Cosmic Voyage and Journey of Souls. He's recommended the reading of those books. Cosmic Voyage, he says, is done by a remote viewer. That's about 95% accurate. Talks about lots of stuff about extraterrestrial happenings in our solar system. So if you're interested in that subject, Cosmic Voyage, a good place to start. And Bashar recommended Dr. Schultz material. So naturally, I'm going to check it out because so far, and I don't just take everything Bashar says that, you know, as true. I just check it out in my own belief system, which I believe everybody needs to do with all information. But so far, I haven't found anything to really argue with in the information that's come through him. And actually, I'm in the process of doing one of those detox programs right now, and I really enjoy them. They're kind of broken up into five-day programs. I'm doing one on the liver, gallbladder, and it's basically first and fifth day is organic food only in small amounts with the detox teas and flushes and his ingredients for the detoxification. And in the middle is a three-day juice fast, which I find quite pleasurable. And these programs can be done fairly inexpensively and are highly effective, and in conjunction with them is an ingredient called superfood. And the superfood contains all the nutrients that we need for the body to function optimally. And it's also a great way, by the way, if you're interested in, you know, dropping a few pounds, you can just eat superfood in the morning. You know, I pop a banana with some apple juice and a couple of heaping teaspoons of superfood, and away you go. And another item that I highly recommend are the Egyptian healing rods. And those are also called the wands of Horus. And Egyptian healing rods have been shown to boost the immune system, open higher chakras. And as usual on ET Yoga, I'd like to wish everyone my sincerest best towards full consciousness, perfect health.